Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, sat in this, the wonderful rugby dungeon, with my good friend Phil. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Jonathan.
And down the line, all the way in the RFU Council's shipping container. Oh, how is the shipping container, Tim?
It's lovely. I'm outside. I'm right outside. You could just wave to me out the window. I'm just not coming in until I have my chair upgraded. That's it.
It's happening. It's happening. Now, interesting with the shipping container. We're updating that, aren't we, to be a JB 2020 headquarters for my run for my council run.
Comms headquarters.
Comms headquarters. Yeah, we're going to be hitting the phones, busing pensioners who are eligible to vote to polling stations,
putting fake Facebook posts out left, right, and centre.
Oh yeah. So yeah, watch out for that JB 2020 when I'm going to run for RFU council. Because why? Well, because I can spend your money better than you can on me. I'll enjoy it more. You don't know how to enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is
let's bust open the Negronis. Yeah, let's bust open the Negronis and get into it. This European Champions Cup midweek domestic podcast. How many letters is that? EPCRMWDP.
Perfect, Tim. Absolutely perfect. So if you want our usual ramblings, that will be earlier on in your feed. You'll have that on Tuesday morning. This is Wednesday morning. We still don't have the teams, but it's not going to stop us. Well, it's never stopped us before, and it won't stop us now. We're going to surmise what might happen in the European Cup finals, right?
Correct.
All right, well,
damn right.
Someone talk then. Go.
Well, we're going to go reverse chronologically.
Okay.
Because the big game is Saturday afternoon.
Yes, it is.
And it's the one everyone cares about. And it is the one that has been, well, for the last few years, this has been the biggest game in Europe. This has been the biggest draw. There have been the best two teams. Now, Toulouse have pushed them close this year for excitement and for star power, but in terms of getting the job done, no one has done it as efficiently and as consistently as Leinster and as Saracens.
It's amazing how these two teams just dominate the competition.
They have been so good for the last few years, and this year in particular. Both teams are brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, there's some interesting kind of side stories to this. Now, JB, you like the anti-Owen Farrell narrative,
okay,
which
yeah.
you get on from time to time.
Oh, by the way, not breaking news, but fairly big news. I don't think Brad Barrett's going to be fit for this.
So the enforcer outside Owen Farrell may well be Nick Tompkins.
Not enforcy enough.
And Johnny Sexton, reigning World Player of the Year, since collecting that award and since turning down an interview with the Egg Chasers in Monaco, he's not been playing his best rugby. He's been injured for a lot of the season.
I'm not going to say correlation is causation.
Let that be a lesson.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. But, you know, Bowden Barrett took away the Egg Chasers tie. You know, not only did his game go next level, right, so did his brothers.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, meanwhile, Jerry Sexton down in the championship.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
No.
Go on. I'm interested.
Have you not seen Sexton signs where he's going next year? Worse than the championship.
Oh, hang on. What's worse than... Pro 40, the Dragons.
Worse than the Dragons.
Southern Kings. No.
Sexton signs for Southern Kings.
No. All because he didn't take the Egg Chasers tie.
Wow.
Correct.
Goodness me.
Wow.
Oh dear, poor.
Wow.
Poor Jerry having his brother let him down like that.
So the flight half battle will be absolutely key to this game, for territory, for possession, for clues, for decision making, for experience, because they are. I know Owen Farrell's a few years younger than Sexton, but they are two of the most experienced Northern Hemisphere fly halves, and two of the most experienced fly halves in the world. Now, we're probably going to do a combination team, but I think it's probably worth just discussing those two in a bit more depth and what you 100%. Think they can add. Yeah, so, I don't know, Tim, JB, kind of where do you see that particular battle going?
Well, it's going to be a lot.
Well,
this
must be a tough one for JB because you hate Owen Farrell. So how are you going to?
Well, I just don't.
How are you going to deal with this?
I just don't think he's very good. I mean, that's how I deal with it. And
Tim, JB has never let any of his biases affect his judgment in the past, and he will not do it now.
You ask every one of those idiots that commented to me on 888 Sport about who knows about fly halves. Is it Dan Bigger or is it Owen Farrell? Lots of idiots mashing the keys with their fat hands, all wrong. Why?
Because it's Gareth Anscombe.
Gareth Anscombe is the best in the world. Owen Farrell not having his minder with him, Brad Barrett, that's huge. That is absolutely huge. And I think that's going to massive. I mean, you said the same about Munster, to be fair. But that will tip the balance strongly, I think, in Leinster's favour. That said, I mean, what has Johnny Sexton been known for in the past couple of months? Not much, is the answer.
He's been injured quite a lot, so he's hardly played for Leinster. And his Six Nations was a combination of a couple of very poor performances, the England and the Welsh game in dreadful conditions is probably the worst I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
And a couple of kind of uninspiring performances in the other games, like failing to get a spark.
Yeah, do you know, you said it's all important, like this matchup. I think it's more about the supporting cast. I mean, who can elevate their fly half to where they need to be? I think Farrell has the advantage here, purely because of his kicking.
Interesting.
I think he's a slightly better kicker.
Out of hand at sticks?
Sorry, for sticks.
For sticks.
Points.
Yeah. I would agree. That's my perception. I suspect the stats would probably back that up, but I'm not 100% certain.
You know, a physical Leinster team running down his channel, giving him hell. In my mind, he's a ticking time bomb. He's just waiting for that high shot, looking to show Nick Tompkins, who's boss around here. This is how I defend. Bang, red card.
But
there's a yellow card coming for Owen Farrell this game.
Are you going to put that on the whiteboard?
I'll put that on the whiteboard right now.
Yellow card for a foul.
A card. It could be yellow, it could be red. I'm going to go with a card.
But Owen Farrell has shown repeatedly in an England jersey, he can get away with high shots.
That is true. Oh, no, hang on. Rather than a card,
you're changing the whiteboard already.
A card serious events will happen. Whether he gets picked up on it or not, I do not know.
Tim, how do you see the battle of the tens going?
Farrell's the man in form. Sexton's got just world-class players around him. I just think it's which back row and which ball carriers can get the fly-offs on the front foot, basically, is what I think it comes down to. I don't think it's going to be Owen Farrell plays well, Sexton plays badly. They're both absolute world-class players. But it's just who's on the front for who wins the game line means that Sexton and Farrell are moving forward, sitting back in the pocket when they need to, when they want to kick the ball around. So I think actually that battle will be dictated effectively by other people and guys like Billy Vunipola or Jack Conan and the rest of it.
So on that note, should we flick through the other players then, starting with the packs, if they're going to carry the piano, so Owen or Johnny can play it.
Uh-huh.
Shall we flick through them and see who would make a combined 15?
Oh, crikey.
So, starting at loose head prop, you've got three Lions to pick from.
Is that it?
Just the three competing for the loose head shirt. So, Keane Healy, Jack McGrath. Keane Healy, who has been starting, by the way, and Mako Vunipola.
So here's the thing. I'm not going to give you individuals. I'm going to give you units.
Okay.
I think the Saracens unit is slightly inferior when it comes to scrimmaging, but I think they're better around the park. With the exception of Tadburn. There you are. No Burn? No. Yeah.
Tig.
Tig.
Yeah. Tig Furlong.
Furlong. Tig Furlong. No, that's a different Tig. Right. Who is a monster around the park.
So's Keane Healy. He's an absolute monster around the park.
He's not Mako, is he?
And Cronin, if he plays, because I think he picked up a knock.
Cronin is a bloody good player.
He's pretty handy around the park as well.
Yeah. I shade Jamie George and Mako, but then Furlong.
Yeah, I could go with that.
Yep.
But the Mako, Keane Healy, that's probably the single tightest.
Hold on. So you said Mako and George...
And Furlong.
Furlong, I'd say?
Mako, George, Furlong.
Isn't that the Lions starting front row?
Correct.
Oh, right, okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Controversial selections.
Wow, really breaking the mould there.
Then
Maro and James Ryan in the locks?
No, Maro and Cruz for me.
Would you?
I think Cruz is ace.
Because I would actually... yeah. I probably would go... James Ryan and Maro.
I think Maro's sort of stepped up again. If that's possible, he's actually done that. I mean, he's so strong. He's just physically dominant. But then so is Cruz. Cruz even, maybe to another degree. But the interesting thing about Cruz is going to be how he goes in the line-out against Toner, who is a really good operator.
And Toner, who is, the last couple of years, he has stepped his game up.
Yeah, he
massively.
Looks like he should be terrible at rugby, and actually he's amazing.
For a few years he was a big lump, big rangy lump, but nothing special. I think he's now brilliant.
Yeah, his carrying is good. Not linked to this game, but I'm going to say something. I think he's Ireland's most important player.
Go on.
Get out of town. What are you talking about? Come on.
Go on.
Really?
Yeah.
Explain why.
Because Ireland are going to lose the World Cup. They're not going to win this World Cup. Well, or should I just say, if they don't go far in it, it'll be because their line-out's fragile. Now, they can't replace the hooker, and the hooker, Rory Best, is a problem. I mean, you saw it on the weekend for...
He's no problem.
You kind of saw it against Ulster, and I think he sort of recognises this. And the only way that line-out's going to work is if Toner absolutely dominates and helps out Rory Best. Without him, their set-piece will go to pieces and they will not get far in the World Cup. Hence, Devin Toner is Ireland's most important player.
It's an interesting theory.
It's a great theory.
Best stats, particularly in an Ireland shirt, are
when he's throwing
exemplary.
But you wouldn't pick Devin Toner
anyone
in the combined team.
Well, no, because they don't have the problem that they don't have the problem that Rory Best is missing arrows everywhere. So because you're with a better hooker, I think you can get away with
Hello,
Tim.
Tim,
well, I muted him maybe. Oh dear.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
There you go. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, because they're playing in a better team, or with a better hooker, you can go with Mario, who's not bad in the lineup. Neither of them are bad, are they? And George Chris, who again isn't bad. So yeah.
So we don't have any consensus other than we all pick Mario.
Yeah.
Tim, did me and you both pick James Ryan?
Yes.
Ah, so we are currently three Saracens and two Leinster.
That level of work rate in that second row is like it's 21st century rugby. That is just next level stuff, isn't it?
Total rugby.
Yeah.
From those two
are total rugby. They are the new breed of locks who can do absolutely everything, and do absolutely everything. Back row is an interesting one.
Well, let's start with Billy, because we're all going to agree with Billy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no way that Billy is not playing this game.
Would you all agree with Sean O'Brien?
Current form, I've not seen enough of him in the last 6 months, say.
If Dan Levy was fit, it would be him.
Yeah, and so I would actually be very, very tempted to put Jack Conan in there as my number six.
Mm-hmm. And seven?
Yeah, good shout. I like that.
I'd have Bitley and Conan for all the carrying those boys can do. And then you do need a workhorse, which is either going to be Sean O'Brien or maybe Jackson Ray.
Jackson
Ray.
Wow,
come on. You can't. No, come on. It's got to be Sean O'Brien.
Sean O'Brien, yeah.
But that is not to denigrate Jackson Ray, because what a brilliant club man he is.
Yes, but Sean O'Brien is just...
The problem with that selection, right, is that Sean O'Brien is your work rate man. When actually, when he plays for Leinster on the weekend, he's going to be your carrying man.
He does some carrying, but
he does some great carries.
But the beauty of Sean O'Brien is, and certainly when he was the best open side in the world, in my opinion, for a big period of time, he would work as hard as any open side, and he'd be stealing balls and hitting every ruck and making phenomenal tackles, but also making massive explosive carries, which is something that, say, Richie McCaw just could never do to the same level.
He's definitely the most, in his prime, he's definitely the most explosive seven, unless I'm missing someone obvious.
Someone like Pocock or Hooper, but they're lighter, so they're slightly more athletic, but just not the 40 equals mass times acceleration. They've got the acceleration, but not the mass.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say actually seven is one of the weaknesses of Saracens. They sort of make do, don't they?
Jackson Ray is a very good player.
Yeah.
I would go... So we're probably going to be evening it up at that point, because I would pick two Leinster and one Sarries.
Did Sean O'Brien start at the Lions?
In 2017? No.
No,
Omani and Warbs.
Warbson it would have been, wouldn't it? Yeah.
When they were both fit. Because did Warbs miss one of the tests? The first test?
Yes, Omani captained.
Yeah.
And then was dropped to the bench, wasn't he? He captained the team, then was dropped
didn't
to the
Alan
bench.
Didn't Alan Wynn captain? Alan Wynn was captain.
No, Alan Wynn was not captain, no.
Omani definitely captained the first test. And then Warburton.
Warburton the next two. And then everyone wanted Alan Wynn's head on a block for the second test.
Yeah.
Then he had a stormer. Anyway, okay, that's fine. And then we're going Ben. I'm going Ben Spencer. You boys can do what you want. Oh no, I'm going Wigglesworth. What am I talking about?
Well, who's going to start for Leinster? Will it be McGrath?
I assume so.
I would have thought it'd be McGrath. Yeah,
I'm 100% going Wigglesworth or Spencer.
It'd be interesting to see who Saracens do start, because I would pick the Saracen starter. Because McGrath has done some good things, but also, from when I have seen him, done some less good things.
Is he like the Irish Chris Cook?
I wouldn't go that far. He's not as not as big a penalty machine as Chris Cook. Not as hot-headed, but...
Like a little scamp who should be really good. Just not quite doing it.
Let's just say I would go Ben Spencer.
Yeah, Luke McGrath started against... he started against Toulouse, so, yeah. Yeah, but I would probably go for... Ben Spencer's in... absolutely outrageous form at the minute. It'll be interesting to see who they start. What one game is cup final? It's not even a hypothetical. When people go Champions Cup final tomorrow, who'd you pick? So come on, Champions Cup final, you can only have Sexton or Farrell.
I mean, I'd go with Sippers or Bigger. I mean, these two are not. I know, like, they get all the plaudits, but they're not actually that high up on my list. Don't care either of them.
Right now, if you'd have asked me...
I think Farrell at this moment in time.
Yeah, if you'd have asked me after the Autumn Internationals, I would have definitely 100% said Sexton. In fact, if you asked me at any point in 2018, I would have said Sexton. Right now, I'm saying Farrell.
Yep, I'm with Bill.
And
I agree with that, and I think it's massively important that in the early stages, Saracens rattle him, like rattle his cage.
Yeah.
Absolutely smash him, because if he gets confident that Leinster, he'll take it home.
Well, I was I'm not going to name drop, but I was talking to a professional rugby player today who plays in the backs at 12, not for sale. And we were talking about, like, how would you go about beating Saracens? And for me, it's dead simple. I would run that massive pack, because now we've mentioned the whole team or the whole pack for... Let's. What stands out is They don't have one outstanding carrier, but they have lots of very, very, very good carriers. And they'd be going...
Well, they do. Jack Conan is one outstanding carrier. That number eight matchup is huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
But they would just be going either side of Owen Farrell all day long.
Yeah, you could run Conan, then Keane Healy, then Ty Furlong.
Yeah.
Then James Ryan. Just then Sean O'Brien.
Over and over again. Every time he's at a ruck, he'd be the last one to get up. Every time that he's on his feet, we'd run into him. And I just carry on doing that until he loses his head in about 5 minutes.
Farrell is smart enough.
Is he?
Smart enough not to always make those tackles. And I think the Saracens defensive machine is smart enough to protect him enough to not have to make all those tackles.
Well, let's find out.
Centres.
Now, centres, I am going for an all-Leinster affair.
Henshaw and Ringrose, totally.
Definitely. I think if Brad Barrett is definitely out, it opens up the best trick in Sexton's locker,
which is
the wraparound.
What?
Because, so for some reason, everyone in the world has seen the Sexton wraparound 100 times, but until you've actually been there like 20 times and had it run against you 20 times, no one seems to be able to predict it or stop it. Now, Brad Barrett will have seen it enough times, but if you've got Nick Tompkins defending at 12,
has he
actually in real life seen it enough?
I don't think he has. If Brad Barrett plays, I'd pick him every day of the week. Every day of the week. If he doesn't play, they're no longer a physical backline. They're now on the back foot, and they're susceptible.
So Henshaw at 12, Henshaw and Ringrose, it's an island starting.
Ringrose is outstanding.
The two of them. And I love Lazowski. I think he's brilliant.
Oh, yeah, actually. They're not dissimilar players,
I would have Henshaw and Ringrose every day.
Lazowski. Oh,
totally.
So we are right now, we're even, aren't we?
We've got no idea.
We were four each in the pack. Yeah. Halfbacks to Sarries, centres to Leinster, and it's the back three that's going to decide it.
So, yeah.
Is James Lowe going to play?
Yes.
Because we haven't mentioned any foreigners yet. Have we? For Leinster.
Or for Saracens.
Oh, yeah.
They're all...
Now, the reason I mention that is because he's missed Highland Cup finals because of the rules around who can play.
Well, he played in the semi.
He played in the semi. It was Lowe, Lama and Carney. And for Saracens, it was Williams... who's on the right wing? Maitland
and Goode. Didn't Maitland either come off just before or get injured? He was because Stretel played most of the game.
That's right.
Yes, you're right. Yes, that's right.
So for me, I would have Liam Williams, James Lowe, and Alex Goode would be my three.
James Lowe, Liam Williams, Alex. Yes, same. Tim?
I think I agree, although. I do love Rob Carney.
I like Rob Carney.
He's a devilishly handsome man, but that's no reason to pick him above Alex. I'd pick Rob Carney. I would go Lowe, Carney, and Williams.
Lowe, Carney, Williams.
They're all into their yeah.
So Tim, you are going for one, or pushing us towards one additional Leinster player, whereas me and Jay are pushing towards additional Saracens player.
Oh my word!
Which probably shows.
It's interesting where the. But it's interesting where the balance of power is.
I've got a better
question. Two back rowers and two centres for Leinster could be very, very influential.
But also,
halfbacks and front row for Saracens.
Hang on.
Oh, man, this final's amazing.
Who would you pick for your coaching team?
Well, Stuart Lancaster's running the show. Top dog.
100% not him.
I'd go Mark McCall.
Mark McCall, Sanderson. I just think.
The whole setup
is better at Saracens, I would say. Not by much, but I think it is.
Yeah, it's not by much.
I'm so excited now. Talking about this now, I'm so excited about the weekend.
Yeah, it's very. These two teams, they feel like they were destined to meet in the final from day one.
Yeah, it has always been. it's been almost impossible, other than, as I said right at the start of the show, other than a couple of amazing performances by Toulouse, it has always been building towards this position.
I think the other thing as well is, like, how influential will the supporting cast be? The guys that we've not mentioned. So, like, who has the second best lineup? Who has the best bench? One of the things which really impresses me about Leinster is actually, like, you know, the quality of not their first front row, but their second front row, which they bring on.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, you are right. However, when you look at their bench against Toulouse, in terms of the names. I mean, Ross Burns proved himself to be a cracking player, but Hugh O'Sullivan, Max Deegan, Caelan Doris, Michael Bent, Ed Byrne, James Tracy, these are much less experienced guys than you would normally expect to see on a Leinster bench.
Yeah,
yeah, and you're going to be bringing guys on the Saracens bench. So, Richard Barrington, not the biggest household name, but hundreds of Premiership games under his belt. Vincent Cock was on the bench for Saracens. Will Skelton, who is in the form of his life. Skelberger,
Richard Wigglesworth,
Strettle, and possibly Lewington or Maitland will be on the bench.
Got Stretts to come on and grab a try. That feels like it's meant to be.
It does. It depends how many of the... Because we know the strength and depth of that Leinster squad, but it depends how many of them they can get back fit for this game.
Yeah.
So moving on to kind of prediction, how we see it's going, I'm looking and I think 6-7 and 12-13 is where Leinster are going to win it.
6-7. Interesting.
Those two matchups, like every other matchup, is so tight. I think the two places where the matchups are, there's a little bit more open water, is on the flanks and in the centres.
I think Leinster.
And without Brad Barrett, Leinster, I think, are comfortably better in those matchups.
Brad Barrett missing is huge. I also love that Leinster's carrying options in their front row. That for me is going to be tilt the balance. Not the starting three, but you know, across the six, which will be bringing.
So, predictions then?
Well, having said that, I've now said Leinster. I think.
I think Leinster are going to win.
I think Saracens. I think the upfront battle is going to be enormous, and I think it's going to be relatively
give me
close.
Saracens by five. No Brad Barrett. Leinster by ten.
So, I think Saracens will sneak it, but I don't think they'll do the double. I think this will take too much out of them. So I think Exeter will probably win the Premiership.
So Gloucester are going to beat the Saracens, right?
Not necessarily, but...
But then Exeter will...
Yeah, I think Exeter will win the Premiership. I think Saracens will win.
I think the reverse. I think Saracens will win the Premiership, but they'll lose. But Leinster will win their fifth start on their jersey.
And also, I think... Leinster are going to have too much taken out of them for the Pro 14, which is going to open the door for my beloved Ulster.
Wow. Yeah, if it wasn't for me, for my boys being cheated.
Cheated
by CJ Stander.
And Nigel Owens.
And Nigel Owens. It would be a walkthrough to the final.
CJ Stander was not supporting his body weight.
No, it's true.
So this is great.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Has anyone anything to say about the other game?
Only the fact that I'm quite excited for it.
It should be, yeah. I mean, but it should be an explosive game. I like watching La Rochelle a lot. I mean, I love watching Danny Priso.
Yeah,
he's a monster. He looks like a superhero.
The La Rochelle sale game was completely bonkers.
Yeah.
And Clermont are just ridiculous.
They are ridiculous, aren't they?
The talent that they've got in that team is astonishing.
Do you think they're next year's Heineken Cup winners?
No, because they're choke artists. But I think they will be very competitive in next year's Heineken Cup. Very competitive.
Have you seen the French League, by the way?
Toulouse are miles clear, aren't
miles
they?
Miles clear.
Yeah.
So, I'll watch it if it's on. I mean, because it's an all-French affair, it takes a little bit away from me. I like European Cup finals when it's from two different nations. And also, yeah. Yep. I'll be out drinking on Friday because it's Broughton Park Club dinner.
Broughton Park, you're not a member though.
No, I've got a table though. Old boys.
Of course.
Yeah.
There we go.
Fantastic. Right, so Tim, have you got anything to add?
No, I can't wait now. I'm so excited about the game. I haven't spoken about it like that. This is, it feels like two dynasties colliding, not just two teams trying to create a dynasty. These are teams that have already created a dynasty.
Like, for instance, the Dragon Queen facing off against Cersei Lannister.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
It does.
That is what I mean.
So Saracens are going for their third star and Leinster are going for their fifth.
Yeah.
They would go clear at the top ahead of Toulouse for their fifth star.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Have you got any other business, JB?
I did have a Championship Team of the Year to read out from our friend John Newcomb over at Rugby Journal. However, Tim's on the line, and that means that when my phone's on 10% battery and it's very, 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 very temperamental, I can't
read
it out.
I'll go. You do that. I'll take one for the team and go. I've got a train to catch anyway. I mean, I've got to go home.
Oh, right. Yeah,
I've got to
sure.
take the shipping container. I've got to take the shipping container back and, you know, spray paint it Beardmore 2020.
Beardmore 2020.
Perfect.
So I'll get off the phone. You can use it for that, and then we'll see you on the next pod.
See you later. See you later, Tim. Right. Oh. Literally just on cue, I've run out of battery. So we will do that next week, and we will do it because it's a very interesting piece. And actually, Tim knows about Championship, so it's probably best if we have him on at the same time.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for listening. Go find us on our various social media platforms. We are on Twitter, we're on YouTube, we are also on Facebook, but don't go there because we hardly ever go there. You can go and get our merchandise. Keep the lights on. Keep this ship sailing. You can go on to Akuma Rugby Shops to get our wonderful jersey, or visit our dear friends at Cornerstone / Egg Chasers. We'll see you on Monday, I guess, and we'll have all the roundup from the weekend's rugby, news, gossip, and a breakdown of two very, very important matches in Europe. So until then, let the boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.